I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to give an update on what's going on in Canada. In Canada, many of you know that I went to a Bible conference there on the history of the Bible and the understanding, defending the Bible. Some wonderful, wonderful brethren up in Canada, in Saskatoon. We had a wonderful time. A very blessed time of fellowship. And when I was there, I actually told some of my Canadian hosts the stories that I had been told by a Canadian listener who, many of you will remember the show that I did talking about the Canadian who was walking down the street and a Muslim guy rode by him on a bicycle and said to him, reportedly, quote, "We will kill you in the name of Allah," end quote. And what the guy said so alarmed this Canadian citizen that he was compelled to call the police. So it wasn't just some light thing that happened. Then he told me another story about an older man, an older Canadian man who's there, who he said was about 75 years old, and he was mowing his lawn one day, and while he's mowing his lawn, a little Muslim boy walks over who was about 8 to 10 years old and begins talking to him. And the man, his lawnmower is running, so he couldn't understand anything the child was saying. So he stops the lawnmower, goes and leans over, listens to what this child had to say. And the little boy said, "My dad says one day we will rule you. One day we will rule you." That's what the kid said to him. Said to a 75-year-old man. Now, where does this 8 to 10-year-old kid get the idea? Well, obviously, he got it from his father, so he said. Now, with all of this in mind, we've got a couple of new stories that we're going to be talking about on the program today, things that have been happening in Canada that are very, very disturbing. But before we talk about those stories, I want to remind our audience of Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. This is something that could be said for much of the Western world today, because the Western world has a long history of Christianity, and from the time of the Reformation began to embrace the Bible, to publish the Bible abroad throughout the countries of the West and many other parts of the world as well. But you had countries that became Reformed Protestant countries that were, generally speaking, their profession was Christianity, and they embraced the principles of freedom that were won through the time of the Great Reformation. Okay, I mean, this is how the free world was established. But now we know, since about the time of the end of World War II, sometime afterward, secular humanism, cultural Marxism, militant atheism, began to go to work and has been working, driving God, the Bible, prayer, and Christianity out of schools, colleges, universities, out of government. And now it appears that while they worked for so long to create this secular no man's land, where supposedly we're not going to have any religion, they said, now they want to fill the void that they've created with Islam. That appears to be the case, and that'll make more sense as I talk about these stories. But let's go over what Isaiah chapter 1 says. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, that have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Now let's skip down to verse 7, where it says, Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Okay, then you go further down to verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of your God, ye people of Gomorrah. Notice the references to Sodom and Gomorrah. And think about what's been going on in Western civilization, in countries like Canada, also here in America, we've dealt with the same thing, also England, Scotland, Ireland, the countries of Western Europe have been subverted from about the, well, depends on which country it is, but certainly from after World War II onward, this whole sodomite movement to normalize variant forms of sodomy has been progressing for decades. And with that, the multicultural New Age movement, the idea of teaching that all religions are one and the same from the 1960s, from Vatican II onward. So you've got to embrace all religions as though they're somehow or other co-equal to Christianity. Now, we've seen this happening in America, but it's happening in many other countries as well. And so now that the door has been opened for Islam, these Islamic immigrants are flooding the West, which we know. Now, the situation in Canada, since Trudeau has been there, Trudeau is very, very pro-Islam. Very pro-Islam. In fact, there are those who wonder if he even converted to Islam at some point, because you can find photographs or images of him online sitting in a mosque wearing an Islamic garb, and it has caused people to wonder, did he secretly or privately convert to Islam? Nobody seems to know for sure. I actually asked a few of the Canadians when I was up there in Saskatoon, and they did not have a clear answer. Not at all. They did not seem to know. Okay, now, let's start with the first story. There's two stories. This one we've talked about before, and this is the legislation called M103, which was designed there in Canada to oppose Islamophobia. And remember, brethren, Islamophobia is the doorway to Sharia law. That is the instrument that they use to bring in Sharia law, the beginnings of Sharia law. And the argument goes like this. Islamophobia is a great danger because when people have Islamophobia, they have this irrational fear of Islam, and then they begin saying things about Islam, negative things about Islam. And then they say negative things about Islam, and this is what causes danger to the Muslim world. And now Muslim citizens are going to be in danger because of Islamophobia. So what do they have to do? Well, they have to now pass laws against Islamophobia to outlaw Islamophobia. Now, of course, once we see what they do to pass laws against Islamophobia, what you're seeing is the very foundation of Sharia law that begins with a declaration that Islam is the only true and therefore protected religion in a society, just as it is in any Muslim country. that is governed by Islamic Sharia. So that if you insult Islam, they're going to arrest you, you're going to go to jail. Now, you can go to a Muslim country, you can insult Christianity, you can insult atheism, you can insult Buddhism, etc. It doesn't matter. But if you insult Islam, then you've got to be punished. All right, so here's the article from Jihad Watch. It says, Toronto District School Board's dangerous Islamophobia definition shows why Canadians oppose M103. And here's what it says, quote, the Toronto District School Board, TDSB, issued a guidebook for Islamic Heritage Month that includes a definition of Islamophobia. As pointed out by B'nai B'rith Canada, the definition was disturbingly broad, including defining Islamophobia as, quote, fear, prejudice, hatred, or dislike directed against Islam or Muslims or towards Islamic politics or culture, end quote. Fear, prejudice, hatred, or dislike. If you say you don't like Islam or you don't like Muslims or you do not like Islamic politics or culture, but I pay special attention, especially if you're a Canadian and you're listening to this show, pay special attention to the words Islamic politics and remember the website by Dr. Bill Warner, who picked up on this. He is, I highly recommend Dr. Warner's research and his teachings on this, because he really hits the nail on the head as far as I'm concerned. And he warns that political Islam is the real danger. That's the real danger. Because if political Islam takes hold in your country, they will begin to systematically change your laws and bring in the elements of Sharia. And then you're going to be persecuted. This is what begins the systematic takeover of your system. So now what they've done is they've got, they're arguing Islamophobia as dislike of Islamic politics. Dislike of Islamic politics. Now remember, this has been issued by the Toronto District School Board. So this is an official document. The Toronto District School Board. Dislike of Islamic politics. This is what Robert Spencer says. He says, quote, that means dislike of the Sharia denial of the freedom of speech and the freedom of conscience and the equality of rights of women and non-Muslims. That means dislike of Sharia Jew hatred. That means dislike of stonings, amputations, honor killing, female genital mutilation, and the rest. And Spencer, that's a direct quote from him, he's exactly right. That's what it means. So if you speak against these things, you're going to be speaking against Islamic politics, and you're going to be guilty of Islamophobia. Now, from what we understand, M103 has not yet been fully realized as a law that will prosecute anybody right now. But that's the path it seems to be headed. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part three in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Today, we're talking about the progress of Islam in Canada. The progress of Islam in Canada. Now, we started out with a story about what's going on with the this policy that was adopted that people are still debating. I mean, in fact, they were debating it when I was up there. This policy to bring in M103, which is a law. People are debating, at least last time I looked into it, they were debating whether or not it's a law, whether or not it's an investigation. Exactly what is it? Where is it going to go? It seems like one of those things that if a judge and a couple of lawyers wanted to apply judicial activist principles in a court, they could cite something like this and give a ruling on it that would then establish a precedent. As right now, they're just calling it a motion. That's what M means, M103, motion 103. It says calls on the government of Canada to condemn Islamophobia in Canada and, quote, all forms of systemic racism and religious discrimination. And then goes on from there. Now, remember, in our country, and the principles of judicial activism are also going on in Canada. In fact, I talked to the Canadians about this while I was there and while I was traveling, and they agreed. They've got to deal with judicial activism just as we do. Gay marriage in our country is not a law. Nobody ever wrote a law that says gays can marry. That's not a law. It is an idea that was argued by lawyers in court, and the Supreme Court approved it. That's basically how it happened. So that's why I say M103 could take a similar path where it could be argued, okay, it's a motion. It's not necessarily a law per se, but as soon as they put it into action in court and get a ruling on it, I think that's where Canadians and the rest of us will find out exactly what it means. But the direction of how they're describing and defining Islamophobia is very, very disturbing, because they're saying if you dislike Islamic politics, if you dislike political Islam, then you are guilty of Islamophobia. And what would that mean? That's the question. All right, now the part of the reason why this is disturbing, this other story here on Jihad Watch, a new story about what's just happened in Canada. Remember the guy on the bike threatening, saying, "We will kill you in the name of Allah," he said. And then the little boy saying, "My dad says one day we will rule you." Now in Canada, a 21-year-old Muslim man savagely beats 75-year-old woman in random assault, quote, most severe beating I've seen, end quote, said the physician, the doctor who was treating this 75-year-old woman. This happened in an area called Windsor. It says, here's what Robert Spencer says. He says, quote, the Quran says, quote, when you meet the unbelievers, strike the necks. Instead, Habibullah Ahmad left Sarah Ann Windholm with, quote, multiple brain hemorrhages, a blood clot on the surface of her brain that was immediately threatening her life, extensive skull fractures, fractured vertebrae in her neck, a lacerated scalp, and a badly bruised face. In fact, her eyes were so badly beaten that they were swollen shut, if you read the whole article. It's really horrific what happened to this poor woman, who was apparently randomly and savagely attacked by a 21-year-old Muslim there in Canada for no apparent reason while she was walking through a park. Now, I've been doing a little bit of follow-up research on the situation there in Canada, and this would be my warning to Canadian voters as they are choosing who they're going to pick for their next prime minister and how they're going to vote going forward, to really consider their situation carefully. Canada does not have a population like America. We've got over 320 million people in America. For the Muslims right now are at about 1%, some say a little bit less. Their numbers have been slowed by President Trump, thankfully, and it doesn't look like we're going to see the kind of huge flood of Islamic immigrants coming into the country over the next 7 years. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. There will be some, but not a massive flood. But even still, it will take a long time for Islam to build up a substantial presence in the United States because we've got 320 million people here. In Canada, however, they've only got 36.29 million people. 36 million. A much smaller number. Right now, there are just over a million Muslims in Canada. Just over a million. In the next 5 to 10 years, their numbers could double, triple, quadruple, especially if Trudeau gives them an open door. And already, even though they're just 1 million, they're still a reasonably small percentage of the population. They're already becoming very bold there, making these kind of declarations about taking over the country. And they're involved in politics, and they've already begun the process of political Islam. The fact that they got M103 passed at all should be very disturbing for all Canadians. Every Canadian ought to be very concerned about that. In our country, the Democrats tried to do the same thing. Now, this happened back in December of 2015, and instead of M103, it was called House Resolution 569, H.R. 569. That was their declaration, that it was legislation condemning violence, bigotry, and hateful rhetoric towards Muslims in the United States. That was what they tried to pass. Now, of course, the legislation thankfully went nowhere because the Republicans had control of the House, so the Democrats couldn't get it done. But it shows that the same mentality is at work here in the United States as in Canada, and we already know in Western Europe. And right now in the UK, Nigel Farage says they've got about 100 or maybe more than 100 Sharia courts, at least 100 Sharia courts in the UK. Now here in America, if you just go look around on the internet, you'll see different left-wing websites trying to deny that the Democrats in America tried to introduce Sharia law. But anybody who was paying attention knew that's exactly where this leads. And Christians in the West need to remember Islamophobia. When you hear Islamophobia, what you are listening to is an argument that's been very craftily designed to introduce the foundation principle of Sharia law into your country, wherever you are. And that is that you have to protect Islam in particular. In America, what the Democrats put together back in 2015, only their proposed legislation would only protect Muslims. Not Muslims and Christians and anybody else. No, only Muslims. Now, in M103 there in Canada, it says it condemns Islamophobia, quote, and all forms of systemic racism and religious discrimination. Well, if that's the case, they need to apologize to all the Christians that they've been discriminating against in Canada, especially over issues like gay marriage. In fact, here, this is from an article back in 2015. This was actually published before the gay marriage ruling here in the United States. And this was a Canadian woman who was raised by gay parents and does not approve of gay parenting. And she said this back then. She said, quote, I want to warn America to expect severe erosion of the First Amendment freedoms if the U.S. Supreme Court mandates same-sex marriage. The consequences have played out in Canada for 10 years now, and they are truly Orwellian in nature and scope. Again, she said this back in 2015. All right, brethren, we are out of time. We're going to have to continue this discussion going forward. So that's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.